secret?
Maybe.
You're good at keeping secrets. I made Scott do all the work for today.
Very nice.
Yeah, so he's done all the work, and he'll be here in a minute. He's still working on all my projects I gave him.
You did. You sent him home with homework.
I did. I sent him with, and then I texted him later with another one.
Wow.
So he's doing all the work. So I guess we got to pay him something. I don't know. We got something around we can give him. Let's give him that cup or something.
Yeah. That Chewbacca cup that just lives in here.
Chewbacca.
It's not mine.
Good, yeah.
I don't think it was Matt's, because he would have taken it to his office.
Oh, yeah. We'll gift that to Scott.
We'll give him that, yeah.
Chewbacca. I'm sorry in advance for what we're about to do.
Oh, man.
Because there's a list out with the worst Christmas songs of all time. And I'm not going to...
There are some bad ones. We've been hearing them up and down the hallway here for a while now.
All I'm going to do is give you the top three.
The top three? Mm-hmm. Let's see if I agree.
Number three on the list, the sad one, the Christmas Shoes. Number two on the list, I agree with this one. It is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
And number one, I apologize in advance because it'll now be stuck in your head. It's the Christmas song from Alvin and the Chipmunks. Sorry.
You chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin. Alvin!
Okay. Christmas,
Christmas
time is near.
Time for toys and time for cheer.
Okay.
Wow.
Pretty good list.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's going to be in your brain.
Yeah. The chipmunks are going to be stuck in my head all day. Oh, no.
I was talking to some ladies the other day about Christmas songs, and I thought, you know, I spent 7-8 years on KBKI.
Sure, yeah.
And it's almost 2 months of Christmas songs, a month and a half at least.
Yeah. Start late November. Yeah.
And I got so sick of every single one of them because they're short. Christmas songs are not like the normal songs. They're short, 2-minute little pieces. And everybody does all of them.
Right.
Everybody has a Jingle Bells version.
Right.
So we just play the same song, 25 songs. Seems like over and over.
I mean, honestly, how many versions of Let It Snow do we need?
You're exactly right, Ruben.
How many versions do we need?
Mm-hmm.
Before we all hold hands and sing it together.
And our computer system sometime would screw up and it would play Let It Snow back to back with somebody else's version.
With a different artist.
Yeah. Ugh. A country version and then a, you know, Mariah Carey version.
Speaking of Christmas songs you're sick of, Mariah Carey.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, please.
So bad.
So bad. And she starts playing it around her house in October, I'm told. She starts breaking it out.
It's not bad. It's just overplayed.
We've
heard it a million times.
I can still do Nat King Cole.
Any of the classics I'm cool with.
I'm good with that. Burl Ives,
mm-hmm. Bing Crosby,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
The Dean Martin ones are funny. You know, when I listen to the Dean Martin Christmas songs, all I can see is him drinking.
Yeah, he's pounding them back.
He's wasted half the time. You know, half the time while he's singing, he's wasted. And I think, what a life he lived, man. I'm not condoning alcoholism or anything, but he lived life on the edge all the time.
And there are people who say that it was mostly an act. But then there was that time he came out on Carson, and Carson grabbed his drink from him and took a sip and, like, almost doubled over.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's Christmas week. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve.
I can't believe it.
There is a new trend, by the way, in Louisiana, speaking of Christmas, for Santa is kind of tired of milk and cookies by the time he gets down here.
Okay.
So he wants something a little bit different, and he has made a request for some Louisiana treats.
Very nice. Hey, you know, my family had a tradition like that.
Really?
Growing up. Yeah. We would leave him ribs and sweet tea sometimes.
There you go. I was worried you were going to say armadillo or something.
No.
His top three when he comes to Louisiana that he wants to see on the kitchen table, beignets.
Beautiful.
Pralines.
Of course.
And king cake.
Absolutely.
You can find king cake now. It's out. I saw it the other day.
Wow.
So that's what Santa wants. Now, he did request with the beignets coffee. Chicory coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you can't.
Let's give him something special when
really
he comes.
You really can't
to
have one without the other.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have that. But he does need lots of napkins with the beignets because we don't want to ruin the red suit.
Right. Yeah. He's got a lot of flying to do. He can't. Yes. You know.
Doesn't want to have smudges all over the red suit. So let's leave him some Louisiana tradition. Start a new family tradition in your house. Santa says he loves it. Scott Hughes will be joining us next. We have he's done a lot of work, and he'll share with us what he's been working on.
His homework assignment.
Yeah, he's got it all done. It looks like he's been working. We will have him joining us in just a few minutes right here, 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
That ain't happening.
Well, it doesn't show signs of
no snow for us.
No. Scott Hughes is in for Mike Martindale. Thank you for coming in, bringing coffee and breakfast and all that. Man.
Well, man's got to eat.
Yeah.
It's happy Festivus to the rest of us.
Yes, you're right. It is, I got in my car this morning, and I put on an overshirt. I have a short sleeve shirt on. I put an overshirt because sometimes this room gets cold. And I get in my car, y'all, and the outside temp said 68 degrees.
Yeah, it's muggy out.
And the car was muggy, so I turned the air on. I was like, no, this is miserable. And got the air blowing cool, this is not right. It just doesn't feel like Christmas.
It's kind of weird. It's cold in here. It's cold in my office. I'm wearing a pullover, thin pullover.
Mm-hmm.
You're wearing, it's an Operation Santa pullover.
It is.
Just for the audience.
It is. It absolutely is. And the highs tomorrow and Christmas Day are going to be close to freaking 80.
80 degrees.
I don't understand it.
Let it snow, let it snow.
And I didn't realize we've never had a white Christmas. That's what Richard told us yesterday.
Well, that is what Richard Llewellyn told us. But Richard also gave us a phrase I've never actually heard. And my father, Colonel Hughes, was a meteorologist for the Air Force. He defined white Christmas, which I've never heard the definition. He said a white Christmas officially is 1 inch of snow by 7 a.m.
Yep.
You have to wake up to the ground being covered in white.
The ground's covered in white. And that's never happened here. We've had flurries on Christmas. Because I remember having flurries on Christmas, but nothing really ever stuck. But my worry is, and we said this yesterday, Rube, I'm worried that this means February is going to be a hum doozy.
I asked him that question yesterday, and he said he did not see any long range out. Bad weather. He said at least into February, he did not see any significant participation or major fronts.
And that led me to a question. Do you remember when we had Icemageddon or whatever it was, however long ago it was?
Oh, yeah.
I had 2 inches of ice. The way my driveway works, we had 2 inches of ice.
And I don't know if it was Icemageddon or if it was that summer storm that came through.
The DeShecco?
Yes. And knocked our water service out. For more than a week, West Shreveport had no water for more than a week. Do y'all remember that?
I remember that. I can't remember which one it was either.
I think that was the ice storm.
Sure it was the ice storm.
So, what happens with a data center when they have no water for a week? They shut the doors? They turn all the machines off? Do they close?
I think what you're going to find out is they will have their own water tower, much like a Libby Glass had.
But that's not, that's one day.
Well, that will be their emergency contingency. What happened to the hospitals? What happened to everybody else? Again, I'm not defending it. I think it's a concern. The contract, as we were heard in some of the discussion, has what's called act of God, clauses.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be able in the short run do some things. But I remember, I think it was one of those. I think it was the ice storm. Wasn't it with some of the hospitals? I don't want to say hospitals by name, but didn't some of the hospitals have to bring in portable water and
set up the
parking lot?
They brought water trucks in. They absolutely did. And I would guess that the data center would have to do the same. They'd have to hire, you know, water tankers to bring water in. But that's a lot of water. 7.5 million gallons a day. Scott, that's a lot of trucks.
It is. I think the other thing some of these data centers are doing is they're looking at backup. They're looking at duplicity. They're not building one.
Right.
They're building hundreds of these around the country. I know, and I run the Realtor Association, as you know, mm-hmm. and we use a lot of data. The multi-list, the MLS, sure. or the houses list.
Oh, that's huge.
We used to house that in our, and so people understand what these are for. We used to house all that in our building. We had a room the size of the room that you and I are in that was full of servers, and it was hot.
And we just
can't keep that. We, you know, it got hotter, the computers. Now that's all up in the cloud, as they say.
Okay.
And so when we lose a service, a couple years ago, one of our services, the door service that opens the keys, where people, the locks and the doors, that got in the fire up in Salem, Oregon, where that building was.
Oh.
It took them 24 hours, but they flipped it over to a North Carolina warehouse server. So if one goes down, if the Shreveport one goes down, I think in the short run, they could also go to another location.
I see. I think maybe they could pipe in from Caddo Lake. Maybe they'll have the infrastructure that they'll have an alternative to get it from Caddo Lake or maybe Toledo Bend. I don't know.
Well, but what you're talking about is not the, remember we asked this about the water and service. There's three parts to water. There is capacity. That is what they're buying, and it doesn't seem to be questioned.
Right.
We have capacity. We wouldn't have to go to Caddo Lake unless Cross Lake really dropped below.
Right.
And he said there were billions of gallons of water in Cross Lake. So we're okay there. What you're talking about now is distribution.
Yes.
The ice storm knocked out distribution.
Getting it through
pressure
the lines.
Is distribution.
Mm-hmm.
The third one's quality, which is what we, the citizens, are more concerned about.
Yes.
The odor, the taste.
Right.
That's quality.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I gave Scott a lot of homework. I think he did it. Did you do much of it?
I've always done homework. I was taught to do homework.
You're so good. And we're going to have a local doctor joining us after 7. Flu cases are spiking. Our area, real high.
Who's he? Number one on the list, I think.
Yes, we are number one on the list. So we will talk with the doctor about that coming up after 7. We're going to start with Scott's homework when we come back. He's been working on a lot of stuff this morning. That is coming up right here, 101.7 FM and 710 Key.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, Santa Claus is tired of milk and cookies. He is really tired of them. If Santa Claus, we let Chica out of her cage. Chica's back. Oh God.
Hola, amigos.
Oh God. If Santa Claus comes to either of your houses, we want to give him Louisiana treats.
I hope he hits my house first, because if he goes to Chica, he's doing shots, and then he's going to be just stumbling around my house.
There is a whole lot of tequila right there. Absolutely. I think tequila and tacos should be what
replacing
he gets at my flat. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I got a text from Santa and his people. He wants, in Louisiana, he wants three things at our houses. He wants beignets and chicory coffee.
I can't make that.
Or pralines.
Can't make that.
Or he wants king cake.
So the question you ask is, if Santa comes to my house,
yes,
what's he getting?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting cookie and milk.
Scott, how boring are you?
But you forget, Santa's not about me, and it's not about Santa. And she just said it. My kids can't make beignets. My kids can't make king cake. My kids bake cookies with love for Santa.
Oh, for Santa. Okay.
My kids. Well, there's 6 of them. And we love to make a taco. We have taco and tequila for Santa Claus.
You
we
invited
have to,
her
we have
in.
To, we have to ban
okay,
it.
No, actually, we got tamales. Do you know why we do tamales?
Why?
Do
you tradition. Really do tamales?
Yeah. Yeah, Mexicans always have tamales, especially during Christmas.
Well, for Louisiana Santa. Has the festival. Zwali has the festival.
Yeah. No, but
not
real
Mexico.
Mexican.
Zwali, Louisiana.
Yeah, they're great. Tamales.
Real? So you put tamales out for Santa?
Well,
y'all eat them
we
on
do
Christmas?
Tamales just overall, so we have something to unwrap. You get it? That's
you gotta
legit.
Go.
Actually, if some of the Mexican culture, I used to live in Albuquerque for years. They have one of the great traditions of Christmas, and it's luminaries, putting out the lighted bags. If you in New Mexico and Albuquerque,
really?
We were there. Every house would put out those paper bags. You put sand in the bottom. They put little candles in, and they light the way for the Christ child to come find you.
Oh,
and
wow.
The best way to do
That's
it.
Beautiful.
The best way to do it is if you have a neighbor that lets their dog poop in your yard, you grab the dog poop, you put it in that bag.
She's
got to
go.
Light it, you light it with the match. And then hit up their, you know, you don't ding-dong ditch them.
You We're told sorry. Her to sit down.
Well,
you
I'm
did
a,
it.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. I'm going to get an email.
I was talking about a beautiful tradition in the Southwest.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's talking about.
And she pooped
about.
On it. Yeah.
Okay.
Man.
Whatever.
Bye, Chico. Scott's got a list for us when we get back. I cannot wait to argue with him about it. I mean, agree with him
it
about it.
It is Festivus.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Airing of grievances.
That's coming up next right here. 101.7 FM and 710 Key.
The show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We are back. Scott Hughes is with me this morning, and I gave you some homework, and I want to start with the top stories from the local area, from the Shreveport-Bossier area for the year. I'm not going to give you mine yet. I want to hear what you had a research team work on this with you, and y'all have. All right, well, let's start from the bottom. Let's start at the number 10 biggest story in Shreveport-Bossier.
Remember, these are mine, Scott Hughes's.
Right.
And my criteria was it had to be a story big enough that captured our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that story to have a little shelf life. Not always a one and done. Every now and then you get a one and done that's huge.
Right.
But most of these had shelf life.
Okay.
So number 10, I went with Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent.
Okay.
I think he was still a story this year, but we didn't make a lot of progress in terms of new things opening. He bought some more buildings. We didn't have festivals. But yet, 50 Cent was there all year.
Okay.
Number nine, and it's sad. I went with the killing of the Vivian police officer who died in the line of duty.
Oh, yeah.
We don't often have a police officer die in the line of duty. One of my high school friends, Ron Dean, was shot very few years after we graduated high school. So I've always had that special place in my heart for the police officers, and that's rare. It's rare to lose an officer in the line of duty. So I went number nine, the Vivian police officer who was killed in the line of duty.
I'm with you on these.
Number eight, I went with blight and cleanup. It was a theme throughout the year, especially for the mayor.
Yes.
The fighting of the blight and then the cleanup. We went 7-8 weeks where every week we had a big, massive trash cleanup. Y'all covered it every time
he came on.
Mm-hmm. So I put that at number eight.
All right.
Kind of related, but it had its own lifespan, and it kept coming back from the embers. Number seven, apartment fires.
Ah, that's still a problem.
It's a problem. I mean, it keeps coming back. They keep burning. We keep having issues.
Mm-hmm. Especially
so
in Highland,
seven.
Yeah.
Number six, with 3 exclamation points,
uh-oh,
I put live. Live casino opened in February.
It sure did.
And that was 1,000 jobs. It's very quietly set over there. And that was breathing life back to a huge economic engine. And credit to the Mayor Bossier and a lot of folks, and they worked a long time to bring back the fifth boat.
Change the face of Bossier's gambling world, you bet.
And speaking of changing the face of Bossier, at number five, I went with new Bossier City Council.
Ah, okay.
We had those elections, and we had a 24-year council, basically. And then Tommy Chandler got reelected, and this was finally that election cycle. And they all got reelected. We had a new council. They're all in place. And we haven't heard a lot from the Bossier Council since then.
Been getting along pretty good, actually.
Remember, there were lawsuits involved. That was a pretty big story at number five.
Yep.
Number four, I went with data center.
Number four?
I put data center at number four. That's correct.
Okay, what were y'all smoking? No, I'm joking.
It shouldn't tell you the top three are pretty big, right?
Yeah, they gotta be.
You ready?
Number three.
Number three, I went with the Bernie ordinance. Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
with the Caddo
yes.
Commission. Remember, and the whole thing, because it became the AG suing them. They did a couple more. Bernie Sanders came to town. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty big deal politically.
And that's going to move into next year with
it's
the lawsuit.
It's still going
yeah.
on with the lawsuits. And it opened a lot of Pandora's box, kind of, at the Caddo Commission. I called it the Bernie Ordinance.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're right. That was a big one.
Number three, two.
Two.
And I think it was in many ways, I think it was the best feel-good story of the year.
Okay.
The LSUS pilots.
Oh, that's right. I've completely forgot about them.
Obviously, the national championship, the going to the White House.
Yes.
But really, it was a summer of fun. It became
undefeated season.
I mean, I had never even cared about the LSUS pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself looking at their box scores.
Yes. Who was hitting and
was,
yeah.
And they brought huge honor on the community.
Absolutely.
And at number one, the story I just didn't want to put there, but I couldn't avoid it. It probably dominated the headlines.
I'm scratching my head.
Pickleball.
Wow. Yes. Oh, you're so right.
Scott Hughes's top 10
pickleball
local stories. So now take your shots.
Where's the lady fight on the Cross Lake Bridge with the bajubos falling out?
It didn't make my top 10.
It's not in your top 10?
The two.
Nothing about crime?
Well, I mean, crime's down. Officially, crime's down.
The downtown fights?
Again.
All the cameras we have around town?
Isolated incident.
Okay.
Short lifespan. Yeah, it had social media life for 24 hours. But all these stories, I think, had life. All these stories were bigger stories than those. The first two out. That would be in the event that one of these could not fulfill their duties
yes.
and something happened. the next two in my thing, speed cameras.
Oh.
We really had a huge conversation about speed cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because my children are back in town.
Yeah.
And both of them, as we have driven around town, are commenting, "What's that yellow stripe on the ground?" And they can't even read it. And so
right.
I had explained to them where we got the legislature, the cameras were going away, they stayed. And so I think speed cameras would have been mine. And the other one, which I think is a bigger story than we ever should have gave it credit, but it came and it went. I put the 457 versus the 318. We added a zip code, and now we all
not a zip code, an area code.
An area code.
Yeah.
And now we all have to dial 318 on all. I mean, that kind of came quietly and went, and that was not as big a deal as we thought it would be, but yet it's a big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal. That's a pretty darn good list.
That's my top 10 with two standbys.
Two, what do you call them?
Runners up.
Runners up. There you go. And no lady fight on the Cross Lake Bridge. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things you could have got into, but.
We have a lot of those. You did a list, too, on the national stories, which we will visit at about the same time next hour.
Have a national list as well.
And I'm
curious. Same thought process. The national list was actually harder.
Oh, yeah.
When you try to take the national and cull it down, it was insane.
We're going to fight about that one, I'm thinking. I'm thinking we're going to fight about it. So
we'll see.
I think my
lists are pretty good. I got a crack research staff.
That's a pretty good. I'd move Curtis Jackson higher, though. I'd move him higher. That's the only big change I'd make on yours.
That was where we discussed. I'm going to stand by my top four or five. I think they're unquestioned.
Yeah.
So you're just moving him up or down the.
Yeah.
But again, to me, and this is not a negative. I think Curtis Jackson's a good part of our puzzle, to use Craig Lee's analogy, and it's an important piece. But we didn't see a lot of movement this year with Curtis Jackson. He bought some more properties. We heard a lot of things. There's a fence up around property downtown.
Yep.
But I think we've reached the point for me to move him up my list. I've got to see progress.
Okay.
A lot of people, again, remember I'm in the Real Estate Association. Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed by people buying buildings.
Right.
People buy buildings and property all the time.
What are you doing with them?
Put back into commerce.
Yes, absolutely. Good list, Scott. We appreciate you doing all the work today because we don't want to do any work. That's kind of the way it works. You know how it goes? We've got the national list. We're going to talk flu after 7 o'clock because we are in the middle of quite a flu, I'm not going to say epidemic, but a lot of cases.
We're getting close.
We're getting darn close. That's coming up after 7 right here, 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We're going to get to, man, he's getting grumpy over there. Grinch is here. What's going on?
You gave me a task. I know. Now you're complaining about the results of the task.
We have 2 hours. We got to fill 2 hours. Hold on to your britches.
That's easy. And what makes you think I'm wearing britches?
I didn't need to know that. Please don't say that. I don't need to know that.
I am, just for the record. I'm just curious.
That's the beauty
of
the...
I'm sitting at a table. You can't see. I was just...
That's the beauty of radio. We don't have to wear pants if we don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't need no stinking badges, right?
That reminds me, because I put a picture of us, you know, one of those scales you have to get on when you go to the doctor's office. I put it on my Facebook yesterday. And that's exactly what I said. I put on my Facebook a picture of the scale, and I said, these torture devices should be illegal. During Christmas week.
We don't need that kind of negativity in our lives.
I don't need to get on that thing this week. But you when you go to the doctor, they want to get you on there. And then the comments on my page were like, one gentleman put, and I'm sorry in advance for what I posted. I really am. He said, hey, I take off my boots. And, you know, he said, I take off my jacket before I get on that thing. And I replied to him, I get on it naked. And I spelled it N. How do you spell naked? I spelled it N-E-K-K-E-D.
I don't, because it's not a word.
It is a word. In the South, naked is a word. What? Where did you grow up?
The defense rests.
You're not from the South. Naked is a word. And I really don't get on the scale naked.
I was born in Texas, and I'm pretty sure they say that word in Texas.
They do say that word in Texas.
But it's not a word.
It is a word. It is. It's N-E-K-K-E-D, naked.
I'll go look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah, you need to look it up. So I just, nobody needs to get on a scale at Christmas. And I was talking to the girls in the pool the other day because this last weekend was like our last weekend for, it's our core group. And I said, guys, you know, we're going to have some strangers up in here in the next week or two when everybody runs to the gym for January 1st and they all go do what they got to do. And we welcome you to our water aerobics class. It'll be fun. It's at the Y and BHP Billiton. I'm there every Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. And the Saturday, Sunday classes are earlier in the day. But, yeah, it's a great group.
I always believe nobody needs to get on a scale. Because
yes.
if you need to get on a scale, you know. I'm probably in that category.
Yes.
Let me say it differently. If you don't want to get on a scale, you know.
Oh, you absolutely
if
know.
If you want to get on a scale,
you know. You know.
And
yes.
So why do we need a scale? I think these days what's more important is your blood work, to be honest.
Oh,
because
yeah.
People have different body shapes.
Yes.
And I know we're big into BMI, and I know there's doctors will laugh at me, mm-hmm. but don't let that negativity in your life.
Absolutely not. We're going to talk with a doctor coming up after 7 o'clock to talk about the flu and the spike in cases locally. That's coming up right here, 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Back on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, we are joined by Dr. David Janisse. And I hope I'm saying it right. Is that how you pronounce your name, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you are with Ochsner LSU Health, and you are seeing, like many doctors' offices in town, hospital ERs, flu cases spiking. Louisiana's got one of the biggest problems in the country. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, flu season is definitely underway. It's clearly increasing. The CDC said there's about 4.6 million people in the United States that have already been sick. Almost 50,000 hospitalizations, about 2,000 deaths nationwide. Louisiana is already above the baseline. About 7% of the emergency department visits meet that influenza-like illness criteria. And we've had a whopping 23.1% flu test positivity, and it's only trending upward. The Arklatex area has actually increased in multiple public health regions, including our region. So flu isn't just going around. We're going up.
Now help me explain the 23% positive rate. If I come to your office and I've got the sniffles or I've got something else, 23% of the people that are presenting have the flu? Is that what that means?
Yeah, after a test, they're testing positive for either flu A or flu B.
Okay, explain the difference between the two.
Well, it's just about a genome, actually. It's the difference between, you know, an apple and an orange. They're both fruits, but they're still, you know, they're different things, but they're both fruits.
Is one worse than the other?
No, not really. Flu A and flu B, you're more common to have flu A around here than flu B, but they do both still take the wind out of your sails when you get them.
How worried are you about everybody getting with grandma and grandbabies and kids and all that over this week that we're going to see another spike after these big holiday visits?
Well, you know, this ain't nothing new, but holiday gatherings do increase transmission. More indoor time, more close contact time, travel together in a car, kids, college students, mixing households, kids are coming home for Christmas. So, you know, gatherings amplify the spread. You often see the illness kind of manifest 3 to 7 days later and more clinic and emergency department volume 1 to 2 weeks later because people don't actually seek care on day one. So the holidays act like a multiplier. More indoor gatherings means more opportunities for the flu to jump different households. So we often see that uptick the week later and a bigger bump about 1 to 2 weeks later after that.
Dr. Janice, Scott Hughes, good morning. Some of us get the flu shot every year. How effective is the flu shot, or is this, and I'm not a medical person at all, is this type A, type B? Were they covered by the flu shot this year?
Well, getting vaccinated is still worth it. You know, there was a report that came out about the CDC saying this year's flu shot isn't as effective. The flu shot's only as effective 25 to 50% of the time given the year anyway. There's many different strains of the flu. Flu A, flu B is a big strain, but there are over 100 different combinations of the flu. And so that's when you hear about like the H1N1, H3N2, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's still worth it. If it doesn't protect you from it, meaning that you don't get the flu, you still don't have as long of a run. So the CDC still does recommend it for everyone over the age of 6 months.
And you said that one of the issues with this is the longevity period for it really flares up and people don't go day one. What are the easy early signs? If someone's sitting there and they go, I don't feel well, what should I be looking for in day one or two to maybe get that care quicker?
Well, if you haven't been sick, man, I want to be you. But, you know, it's when you start to feel, you know, the general body aches, the sniffles, the cough, the sneeze. If you're starting to have fever or feeling that you're febrile, like you're feeling like you're sweating, you don't really feel well, that's the time that maybe you should get checked. That doesn't mean we got to run to the emergency department, though. You know, we only have so many of those. But call the doctor, try to go to the urgent care, maybe go to the CVS, Walmart, Walgreens, the department store, the pharmacy, maybe get a self-swab, and that way you can see what your status is yourself. If you do test positive for flu, if you do test positive for flu A or flu B, then at that point in time, we need to stay home. We need to call the work and say, hey, look, I'm sick. I got the flu. Wash your hands, stay hydrated, and make sure you're cycling through Tylenol or ibuprofen as needed for your discomfort.
And I think as humans, we tend to think that the flu is going to come because the cold weather, the snow. That's the imagery we always get with flu. And now here we are wearing shorts, playing Hawaiian music with 80 degrees. Flu is there in hot temperature. Is that safe to say?
It is. So, you know, if we go back to the origin of where the flu comes from, it's one of those viruses, if you ever seen like Outbreak and whatnot. You know, it comes from different animals. It spreads from different ways. And so the flu doesn't just come into us. It starts from animal models and whatnot, and then it starts to grow and develop. And it just so happens to be that flu is traditionally a fall season, just like they're starting to see that COVID is starting to be like a summer season. And so it depends on what the virus is and how it actually comes to be that you start to see these seasonal effects of what the virus does.
Let's go back. We're talking to Dr. David Janice with Ochsner LSU Health. Let's go back to the flu shot a minute because some people may be listening and going, yeah, I'm going to run through the drugstore and get my shot today because before Christmas. It takes a week or so to kick in, right? So you're not covered for Christmas if you get your flu shot right now. Am I right?
That's exactly right. And that just goes back to how the body processes these vaccines. It takes about 1 to 2 weeks for you to start to manifest with symptoms, just like we said, because the body starts to react to the virus. It also takes about 1 to 2 weeks for you to generate immunity whenever you get a vaccine, because that's how long it takes the body to react to the vaccine. So if you think about that, you always got to give yourself about 1 to 2 weeks of a lead time before you can say, oh, yeah, I'm good.
Dr. Janice, how contagious is this strand? Like, how quickly is it going to spread, and how much should I really worry about getting others sick if I have it?
Well, that's a good question. We're in week 50 right now in the calendar year, and the Louisiana Department of Health tracks how statewide we move, and Texas actually tracks how counties move in terms of, like, who's testing positive and whatnot. We're a little bit ahead of Texas and Louisiana. And so whenever we talk about the virulence or how quickly a virus spreads, the CDC has tracked this and said that it's a rather aggressive strain. And they started talking about that in the week 45, week 46 pathway. So they just said that it was very quick to get it. And then people are getting sicker faster. And then they kind of just let that be.
And what does the future hold, doctor? I mean, does flu have a cycle and the whole thing just sort of burns out? So many people get sick and it stops, or does it keep growing? I know Mardi Gras is coming up, and I remember a few years ago when we had COVID. I think one of the real problems of COVID actually ended up being Mardi Gras. Everybody went to Mardi Gras parties, New Orleans, and then it went everywhere. Is flu going to run its course, or is it going to be here through February, through March?
Well, traditionally, flu season starts around August and September. That's the reason why the flu vaccines come. And it ends around February to April at the latest part. So it is seasonal in terms of our fall to winter and then winter to early spring part. So it will burn itself out.
Okay.
It happens every year.
Let's go back in our last minute here. Let me see if you have any, because I was looking for it yesterday, and you talked about Texas has it by counties. Do we have any data showing how big a problem it is in Northwest Louisiana as compared to New Orleans or Baton Rouge or Lafayette? Are we a trouble spot in the state, or do we have that data?
So the LDH, Louisiana Department of Health, has a dashboard. You can go into their website, and you can see what their numbers are by region. If I'm not mistaken, they don't granulate it down by parish. So
okay.
You can always go to the Louisiana Department of Health's website, and they have the statistics that are reported to them every week.
And we're averaging about what the other regions of the state are. We're not any higher than any other region, I would guess, correct?
I did not see any that granular information to talk about Caddo-Bossier.
Okay.
So if it tracks, if the state's going high, we're going high too.
Okay. For Christmas gatherings, what's your advice? If you've got a sniffly kid that wants to sit in your lap or wants to come snuggle with you, maybe avoid it for Christmas. I hate to say that. Everybody wants to hug on their, you know, grandbabies and nieces and nephews, but you got to be aware, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the closing statement here is that if you're high risk, meaning, you know, you're above the age of 65, you're pregnant, you have chronic disease, you're immunocompromised because of cancer, or whatnot. If flu symptoms hit or you're around someone who may be having the flu, wash your hands, wear a mask, and seek care early. Because the fact of the matter is we do have a medication called Tamiflu. It does work sometimes. It doesn't make you, you know, magically cure, but it does decrease the amount of time that you're ill with the flu.
Dr. David Janice, Ochsner, LSU Health, thank you so much for your time. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. We appreciate your speaking with us today.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Doctor.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. The top 10 national stories from Scott Hughes, who did all the homework for the show today. That is coming up in about 20 minutes, less than that, right here. 101.7 FM and 710 Keels.
It's cold outside.
I gotta go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful.
Okay, Scott. Ruben, thank you for getting Christmas music. That's awesome.
I dug some up.
I was worried you were gonna get, like, you know, some crazy nutty Christmas songs that
I haven't found Christmas in Hollis or anything on our list yet, but I'm looking.
Not to be a Scrooge, though, but there is a list out today, Scott, of the worst Christmas songs of all time.
The worst Christmas songs
of all time. And number three on the list is Christmas Shoes. You know, the one where the...
Sad song.
Yeah, he's going to go buy shoes for his deceased mama or whatever. Yeah. Number two, which I can't agree with this one more. Grandma got run over by you.
It's an annoying song.
It's an annoying song.
I don't
song.
Know if it's one of the worst songs.
Oh, yeah, it is. It might be one of the worst of all time. It might be. Of all the songs I hate, I would put Red, Red Wine number one. Sorry, I know if you love Red, Red Wine. I cannot stand it. It's fingernails on the chalkboard for me. And Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer is probably number two.
Oh, man.
The worst Christmas song of all time, though, is Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Christmas
Alvin?
Song. Alvin! Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even going to play a piece of it here because it'll get stuck in your brain.
It's stuck in my brain from earlier. Yeah. I cannot get it out.
You'll be mad at me. You'll be mad at me for sticking that stupid song in your brain. So
I just want a hula hoop.
And see, I love, what's the one from Christmas Vacation? I love that one. Now, I got that one stuck in your brain, didn't I?
That one's great. That one's more in tune. You know, it's cold outside. Yeah. No, we much more need the Hawaiian way to say Merry Christmas.
Yes, we definitely need that. In about 10 minutes, Scott's going to unveil his list of the top 10 national stories of the year. I think you might be surprised by what's number one on his list, because we probably will fight about it. If he's leaving the one on there, I think.
I did.
I thought you would.
Because it is.
It's not. You'll hear about it coming up in about 10 minutes.
I'm not redacting my list.
Don't leak 1017 FM 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, we got a really good text from Caddo Commissioner Chris Crackman. I think he might be right.
I love Chris Crackman.
He's a genius. He says the 12 Days of Christmas is by all accounts the worst Christmas song hands down. And I texted him, "No." And he said, "You better believe it. It's terrible." Well, you and I just tried to go through the song.
And what's the first thing I ask you? You can't even name all the 12 things. You could not, especially in order.
If you're not hearing the song, you can't name the 12 things.
So
try it.
I like Chris Crackman. I think he's nailed this one. It's a traditional Christmas song.
Yeah,
but as Ruben and I were joking off air, how's it really different than 99 Bottles of Beer in the Wall? At least we know the words to that song.
Yeah, we can remember that one. That's true. When we come back, Scott has another task to do for us. It was the top 10 national news stories of the year. He's going to unveil that list. I think we might be fighting. Soccer boppers in the lobby with me and Scott. That is next on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Back with Scott Hughes, my pal, my buddy. He brought breakfast and coffee today. He's buttering us up for some reason so we don't fight with him this hour.
So you don't call me the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. You got a point.
I think my court ordered term time here is over.
I think it might be. I asked you to put together a list of the top 10 national news stories for the year.
We did 10. We did 10 local earlier. Now this is 10 national.
Okay, let's hear your national.
10 national. Again, my caveat, it has to be a story that captures, you know, the attention.
Okay.
And it has to have some shelf life, as we say. So not just a one and done.
And I wrote five down. I'm going to see if any of my five are on your list.
So number 10, and I find it hard to believe I'm placing this at 10, but we knew it was coming, but it did happen. Number 10, I wrote President Trump's inauguration / Doge. That was sort of the first phase of the Trump administration. He comes in and quickly starts signing orders, and we're doging people.
Trump's on my list. Got it.
That was 10 on my list.
Wow. Okay.
Number 9, also political, because I think it captured us late. Number nine, I put the Mondami election in New York City.
Ah.
I think that was a huge political wave, the way that that came about.
Okay, I agree with that. That's a pretty good number nine.
Number eight, I put the California wildfires.
Oh.
That was actually January.
Was it really?
Yes, that was a huge deal. I mean, we all were enamored, watched those videos. Because that was winter. That was what was weird about it. The winter winds were
that
whipping.
That was horrible.
It was awful. Number eight, the California wildfires.
Okay.
Now, with my crack staff, we did switch six and seven.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, we did. There was a discussion in my crack team.
Okay.
So now at number seven, I'm going with the Texas flooding, Camp Mystic.
Ah.
That was 4th of July, remember?
Yes.
It seems like a lifetime ago.
Okay.
But, I mean, there were more than just the girls died at that camp. But
right.
That was a story that captured a lot of America's attention, especially in this region.
All right.
Obviously, we had connections. Number six, I put, because, again, it was so big, I put the Middle East, which I'm putting down as the Iranian bombing mission, the hostages were freed, the peace plan, the whole thing. It's
all
just
right.
The Middle East has been in the news the entire year.
Okay.
So I just called it the Middle East. Trump also made a trip to the Middle East.
Yes,
he did. So it just didn't go away. It was there the whole year.
Okay.
Number six.
Your top five. Here's
my top five. Number five, the Pope. The election of an American Pope.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Huge deal, especially for Catholics.
Yes.
But really for the world.
Connections to Louisiana.
I mean, the Pope is one of the premier figures in the world, along with the American president.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're both American. Of course, American president's always
American. Yeah, that's cool.
Number four, I put the government shutdown.
Okay, it's on
the
my
longest
list.
Shutdown in history of the United States government, 40-plus days, the government shutdown.
Okay.
Number three, I put tariffs.
Yes.
Which would be trade war. It has just the whole year that's been there, up and down, back and forth.
Okay.
Impacting everybody. Number two, I put the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Okay. That wasn't on my list.
I think it happened. I think it had a huge social and political impact still today reverberating. And number one,
which is the stupidest thing of all time. Here's his number one.
The number one, the story that just will not go away.
Yeah.
I put the Epstein files. It has undergirded everything this year.
See, my circle of people could give a rat's booty about the Epstein files. My circle of life, my inner, my medium, my external, they couldn't care about the Epstein files at all.
Yeah, but I can't put Survivor finals on here every time.
They care about inflation. You don't have inflation
well,
here.
Well, that's tariffs.
That goes with tariffs, I guess.
That's the trade war. That's tariffs.
Okay. The prices of things. The National Guard being sent out into our cities. You don't have that on your list.
I don't think that's, you know.
That's bigger than, for me, I care way more about that than I do about the Epstein files. I really do. Am I wrong?
You asked me to put my list together.
I know. And part of it is I wanted to fight with you. So I'm
the National Guard which, not on my list, you could argue. The National Guard hasn't caused a member of Congress to quit yet. The Epstein files has. Members of Congress are walking away. The National Guard didn't cause Congress to get shut down for days or all summer because we're afraid to call Congress into session. The National Guard didn't have a member from Arizona not get seated for weeks.
I would have the Epstein files on the list, but number one, Scott, really?
Well, you asked my list.
I'm not being mean to you. I'm thinking that's.
We're having a debate here.
Which is fine.
I'm defending my list.
Which is fine. No big, beautiful bill on your list? Would you lump it with tariffs?
We don't know what the big, beautiful bill is going to do yet. I mean, they passed it. Doesn't go into place until next year.
It kind of goes with government shutdown.
I kind of put it with government shutdown. And remember, Trump inauguration, the DOE. I mean, several places. But, you know, the problem with the national, you start getting, and you've already answered. You know, it was number 11 on my list. It wasn't even any of those things.
I have another one to tell you. What's
number
yours?
11 on my list was the penny.
Oh, the penny's gone.
We could do this for an hour.
Oh, we could.
I did it last night for an hour with my crack research team. there's so much. We haven't talked about hurricanes that hit. You know, the destruction of certain, I mean.
The bombing of the ships. We haven't talked about that either.
The ships in the Caribbean. Yes.
Yep.
There's so much. Every day is a complete week news cycle right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it really is. You're absolutely right.
We start getting into, we didn't even mention, I mean, I tend to have a younger, you know, focus group, and they're going, oh, Taylor Swift got engaged. Not on my list. But to a lot of this country, that might be a top 10 if you're looking at cultural events.
Right.
I was just looking at my list, Scott Hughes' list, that's it. And the beautiful thing about lists is we can fight about lists.
Yes, I'm perfectly fine with that. And we will kiss and make up. Well, we're not going to kiss, but we'll make up at the end of it. The Epstein thing, I think it's one of those, you can't see the forest for the trees. I think a lot of people that are in the middle of watching that and following that, they get so caught up. When the general public is, you know, going out and buying eggs and milk and wondering if the big beautiful bill is going to lower their, you know, their taxes. Are they going to really get more money next year in their paycheck? Is that really going to happen? Nothing on the list about health care. A lot of people are worried about that.
I understand. I would think the Mondami election was kind of indicative of that a little bit. It sort of signaled a move toward affordability. Why did Mondami, an avowed socialist, to be honest, win the mayorship of the largest city in the country? I think a lot of those issues are tied up in that.
That's a good question. But
the reason I put Epstein on there, again, I'm the political analyst. Okay. I saw it. There's an undercurrent of it in a lot of things that went on. And then of all the things we've seen, it's the greatest threat, I think, at this point to the politics in this country because it's breaking the MAGA base on that issue.
Another assignment we're going to do before 8 o'clock. I'm going to make him work again. The biggest sports stories of the year. He doesn't even know about this one yet, so he's got about 2 minutes to gather that. Don't you love this show?
The biggest sports stories of the year?
That is coming up. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
You're not allowed, by the way, Scott Hughes, you're not allowed to thump me in the head.
No, there's a clear rule. There's two rules on this show. No singing and no touching, right, Ruben?
No touching, yes, exactly. He's inclined to thump me in the head right now because I gave him another assignment on the fly.
One you didn't think through very well.
I didn't because there's nothing.
One you said, oh, let's just do this. And now, to be honest, we've sat here now with a couple minutes, and it was a good year in sports.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say what are the top stories, and again, my criteria, which we use for local and for national,
sure,
one that captured our attention and one that had shelf life.
There's not much in the sports world.
Sporting, I mean, there was a lot of great games. There was highly competitive. So I wrote four things down. You may have a couple for sports stories. And so number one. Well, I don't have 10, so it's hard to go in reverse order.
It doesn't matter.
Number one on the list I wrote down, I thought, what dominated sports the most in my mind this year?
Okay.
I wrote down NIL money.
Ah, good choice.
I think
choice.
This is the year where NIL money caught up with us. All the kids transferring, the impact of money,
the portal,
in sports, the portals. And that's a lot. That's all sports.
And that's keeping some people like, let's say, a Nick Saban. Some great coaches from going, nah, I'm not coming back.
It's affecting coaching. I remember watching it in the NCAA gymnastics finals.
Yes.
Where some of the gymnastics ladies had changed teams.
Livy Dunn is one of the richest athletes in the world.
She's actually the top NIL athlete,
yes,
Livy Dunn. That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you and I agree this one's on the list this year.
Yeah.
I put the LSU coaching change.
Oh, yeah, Lane
Kiffin. The whole debacle that it was.
Yes.
Not just getting the Lane train. But the firing of Kelly, the whole watch,
yes,
the governor got involved.
Yeah, you're
you
right.
Know,
that might be the biggest of the year.
It may be.
Might be.
Number three, I wrote down the World Series. I just wrote it down as the World Series. There were a lot of things that happened there. But if you were a baseball fan especially, the World Series was spectacular.
It was.
Those last two or three games were unbelievable.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, it was just a great series. The Dodgers versus Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I watched Toronto play this year in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
One of my travels. And then number four, you and I kind of agree on this one, I think. I wrote down Notre Dame postseason woes.
Yes, yes.
I think that's going to have a huge ripple effect because Notre Dame got left out of the bowl series and a lot of whining over that. And then they announced that they were taking their ball and going home.
They're going home. Yep. Speaking of that, we got to take a break. Coming up after 8, Scott's got a list of new laws that will be going into effect in Louisiana, January 1st.
That one I had time to prepare for.
He's ready with that. But a week from today, back to the bowls, is the Independence Bowl. So they're gearing up. It's down the home stretch. And get those tickets to the Independence Bowl now, because you can put those under the tree, put them in the stocking. Be a great gift. We want to pack the stadium this year. So it's going to be a big game. Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Tech. We are excited about that. Sports story we didn't put on the list. LSUS Pilots. It's got to be there.
We didn't put them on the sports list. You are correct.
It's on our local list.
But we put them number two on the local list.
Absolutely. 1017 FM, 710 Keel. Back for our final hour on Christmas Eve's Eve. This is Festivus.
It is Festivus.
This is the day, right?
Today's the day.
Scott Hughes is in studio, in for Mike Martindale. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here. Mike's back tomorrow, right?
Mike will be back tomorrow. Yes, absolutely. I gave you a lot of homework, and because I didn't want to do any work, and you did it. I'm amazed. You're amazing.
Class A. Do I pass?
Yeah, you pass. Okay. Flying colors. This list is new laws that are going into effect January 1st in Louisiana.
Correct.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds because I know some of these are real technical things, but are there some that folks really need to know about that could be game changers?
Well, a few. And just for reference, remember it was sort of an odd session, and they really focused a lot on insurance reform and a lot of what we call inside baseball stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of huge sexy big things.
Right, like you have to wear blue pants on Friday. Yeah.
Nothing like that. So to kind of look at them really quick, some of these are a little more mundane, but these will affect people. One of the big bills that was passed was House Bill 431, became Act 15, starts January 1. It's called the Modified Comparative Fault.
Okay.
Now, what this means is that you, starting January 1, you cannot recover damages in a car accident if you are found 51%.
Oh.
This is one that's going to change our insurance. In the past, you know, if I was at fault, I could still partially recover if I hit you.
Okay, right.
Now, if I hit you and I'm 51% in fault, I can't recover from you.
You can't recover from me? Why would you recover from me anyway?
But that was the way Louisiana law was written. Even though I caused the accident, I could recover some damages from you.
From my insurance company.
Correct. So, a lot of these are common sense.
Wow.
These are kind of things. And I think you had Alan Seba on. You had Michael Mellorin. A lot of these were sponsored by Michael Mellorin and others. The second one, the Medical Expense Recovery Act. Senate Bill 231, Act 466. Juries will now see both what a person was billed and paid in medical accident wrecks.
Ah.
In the past, you would just show what they actually were billed, not necessarily what they were paid. And so, again, this is an inflated medical bill is what they were looking at. So for damages. So another one, January 1st, will probably start to affect.
Okay.
This one's a little interesting, especially in a state that tends to not necessarily have good credit scores.
Right.
Louisiana's a state is not one that has high credit scores. They did the Insurance Credit Score Disclosure Act, Act 465, Senate Bill 61. Insurers must tell policyholders now if a credit score affects their premium.
Ooh.
That starts in July.
Do I have to ask my agent?
I think if you ask, they have to tell you that. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. This is one for our teachers. Okay. The teacher professional development. School boards must now report on teacher professional development completion starting May the 1st. So we're getting a little more information on our schools.
Okay.
There are some potential. Some of the biggest ones haven't been voted on by the people yet.
Ah.
Two of the biggest ones that are coming, there's a bill called Odd Year Legislation Amendment. Could allow more pre-filed bills and consideration of fund-related bills in odd year sessions.
Wait. So they could file more bills than they're allowed
to
now?
That's correct. Now, every other year, fiscal only, this would change some of that. And so we, the people, are going to get to vote on that in April.
We don't want them to do more bills, do we?
I don't give advice on how to vote. So, okay. I'm the analyst.
When is that on the election?
That's on the April 26th ballot.
Okay.
On the May ballot, there is going to be a bill to change state civil service. And again, in full disclosure, I do sit on the State Civil Service Commission, so I will make no comment on this for what people do. But what the bill would do is it would allow the legislature to establish classified or unclassified service positions.
Who establishes it now?
The State Civil Service Commission has done it since the 1950s.
Why would we let the legislature do it?
Again, I'm not going to comment on what people should do, especially on a body that I sit on.
Yeah.
But that'll be on the May ballot. Some other things that have already gone into effect. One was called the Caritom Ban, Act 41, a complete ban on the possession, sale, and distribution of kratom. I may be saying that wrong.
Kratom?
Kratom.
Okay.
K-R-A-T-O-M. That's now illegal in Louisiana to possess, sell, or distribute.
What's kratom, Ruben? You know all this stuff.
Kratom.
From a friend, right?
Sure. Kratom is an herb.
Okay.
For lack of a better word, it's a plant that grows, I'm not sure where, but it sort of mirrors the effects of opioids if you make a tea with it.
Wow. Okay.
And you cannot possess that, sell it, or distribute it. That's illegal.
And that's in effect already?
That is now in effect. That is correct.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then another one that starts in January. Actually, this has been in place, and I think the kratom ban has been in place before. But August 1st, it went in, January 1, but that one actually quietly began August the 1st. One that has been around, but becomes high stakes, as we say now in legislative, it's the hands-free driving law.
Oh, we need to know about this.
The statewide ban on holding a phone while driving.
Okay.
Now the fines kick in January 1.
It has been,
quote, against the, I'll say it this way, it's been against the rules to hold a phone while driving.
Yeah.
Now it's against the law. I'm not a lawyer. I'm making this up.
And steep fines for it, too,
right? But now, starting January 1, you can be fined. I think before you could be warned for it. I don't know how that works.
So now I guess I can be pulled over for it, too, right?
Now it's something that would be probable cause. I'll use another term that's probably wrong, but yes. And now holding a phone, you can be pulled over, ticketed, and fined.
Well, we need to double our police force to enforce this one.
So,
because there's everybody out there is holding a phone.
Hey, what if we put cameras up that could take pictures of us and see if we're holding a phone?
And send us a ticket.
Yeah.
If we're holding a phone.
We could put them up around schools.
There you go again.
I'm sorry, I joke, but obviously that was another major change is that we do have those school camera zones. They were allowed to stay.
Okay.
And now all those zones are up. There are some others, a lot of other laws that they passed. But it really wasn't a sexy session on things that are going to direct. That phone one in your hand is probably the one that's going to affect most Louisiana citizens. There's a lot of things that affect, as we went through three or four of the big insurance ones, there's probably a dozen more that affect the inside baseball part of insurance.
Sure.
There was a lot of things on roofs. On hurricane recovery, and we're seeing a little bit of that in the insurance, premiums now coming out. Where the legislature focused. And then, of course, there was a lot of bills. Stephen Jackson had some on blight. They had some on water bills.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of where the session really, really ran. And then we did see a lot of bills on, and I'm going to say it wrong, but the carbon capture. That was a hot issue, not so much in our community, but throughout Louisiana, there's some carbon capture. And then as we did have a discussion the other day with Representative Jackson and Representative McCormick, there were bills on what the government had to disclose. Remember, the governor got
to
protect a lot of records. The Jackson bill that basically said they could do NDAs.
Right.
And I think to clarify, I think Representative McCormick was not present on the final vote, although he was against the first version.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was clear he was against the bill. He was not in favor of it, as most of the local conservatives were against it.
Most conservatives were not in favor of that
bill. In about 20 minutes, Scott and I will discuss his top 10 list of the biggest Shreveport-Bossier, Northwest Louisiana news stories.
I think it was perfect.
I think your list is pretty spot on.
People can challenge it, but they may have one or two. But
is there a glaring omission? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
And I think if there is, we want to know. If someone thinks we missed something, what should they do when we run that list?
Message us on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. We will add your item to the 11 to the 10 list, and we'll make top 11.
We're open to criticism.
You bet. That is coming up in about 20 minutes right here on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. place to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go,
okay,
laughing all the way.
Raise your hand if you know somebody who has the flu. Don't we all? Pretty much.
So. I think I do, yeah.
For me, the folks that I've talked to who have been tested, who've tested positive for the flu, it's bad this year.
Yeah.
We had one of our coworkers, was he out, what, 3 days?
Yeah, 3 days and a weekend. So
yeah.
Before he was better.
Took him 5 days to recover.
Yeah.
It manifests in, you know, fatigue and all the snifflies.
Dr. Janice says it's taking up to, that's the guest we had on earlier from Oshner's. I believe he was Oshner's, correct?
Yeah.
He was saying it could take up to 2 weeks to recover from this flu.
Wow. Wow. That's not good. And so I tell you that to tell you we're all going to be around family. We're all going to be having, you know, gatherings with that may include little children. It may include the elderly. It may include lots of people.
Are you going to use flu to get out of seeing family? Is that
no?
Where?
No, good. No.
I was afraid you were not headed. You were headed there.
No, I'm
because you're
definitely
going to see family.
I am. Yes,
and good for you.
The thing is, be careful. I mean, don't, you know, if there's children that have the sniffles or that appear to have the, you want to maintain a distance and wash those hands.
That was the key. It's wash hands. If you can sit at a little distance. No, we're not talking COVID air for our friends. We're not talking that type of restrictions.
No.
But we're saying simple things like wash hands.
And yeah,
don't necessarily sit on top of each other.
Right. And when you hug on the babies and you love on them, that's fine. But just wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer between the guests.
And most important, but what Dr. Janice said was, and if you're not feeling good, be honest about it.
Yes. Don't try to go to work. Yes.
Yeah.
Go get treatment. You can get Tamiflu. It might knock it out a lot quicker than if you decide to treat it at home, because we're all guilty of that. Oh, I'll muddle through. I'll be all right. It's not gonna be, I'll drink soup and I'll be fine. I'll hydrate and all that. Go to Quick Care and whatever it is. I mean, everybody has a little copay that you have to pay at Quick Care. But hopefully you can get it knocked out.
You made fun of me yesterday for making my employees work tomorrow on Christmas Eve. A little bit. We close at noon. We do have a standing rule at my office. If you are sick at all, do not come in.
Yes.
We cannot afford you to knock other people out.
Absolutely. By the way, the president's executive order making tomorrow and Friday a federal holiday, I asked at my bank yesterday, are y'all open on Christmas Eve? And she said, yeah, we close at 1. And I said, so the banks aren't typically closed on every federal holiday. And she said, not typically, not all of them.
Again, I'm not a banking expert, but there are other banking rules that limit how long a bank can be closed.
Right.
So, again, nothing against executive orders. They only affect the federal government. Mm-hmm. They don't affect private business.
Yes.
Private business can do whatever it wants to do.
So I would tell you, if you're in a position where you're going to need cash, you know, over the holiday, some banks might decide they're going to close on the federal holiday, which is tomorrow and Friday.
The larger problem for the next couple of weeks, this week and next week, is that the holiday, Christmas, New Year's Day, is Thursday.
Yes.
So it creates that weird short week, really four times if you think about it.
You bet. Absolutely. In about 10 minutes, Scott is going to share his list of the top 10 Shreveport-Bossier, Northwest Louisiana local stories. What's on his top 10 list? Is there anything missing from his list? We will discuss that coming up in about 10 minutes right here on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Coming up next, we've got Scott Hughes ready to line out his top 10 Shreveport-Bossier stories of the year, Northwest Louisiana.
Correct, our region.
This is really a pretty good list. It's a really, there's one thing glaring missing on the list, and we'll share it while we're talking about it. But yeah, and see if there's anything missing that you hear us discuss from the list. See if there's something missing when we talk about it that we need to
it's
add.
It's my list. It's 10. It's hard. I'd encourage people, make your own list.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That is coming up next right here on Keel.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We are back. Scott Hughes is with me this morning, and I gave you some homework, and I want to start with the top stories from the local area, from the Shreveport-Bossier area for the year. I'm not going to give you mine yet. I want to hear what you had a research team work on this with you. And y'all have, well, let's start from the bottom. Let's start at the number 10 biggest story in Shreveport-Bossier.
Remember, these are mine, Scott Hughes's.
Right.
And my criteria was it had to be a story big enough that captured our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that story to have a little shelf life, not always a one and done. Every now and then you get a one and done that's huge.
Right.
But most of these had shelf life.
Okay.
So number 10, I went with Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent.
Okay.
I think he was still a story this year, but we didn't make a lot of progress in terms of new things opening. He bought some more buildings. We didn't have festivals, but yet 50 Cent was there all year.
Okay.
Number nine. And it's sad. I went with the killing of the Vivian police officer who died in the line of duty.
Oh, yeah.
We don't often have a police officer die in the line of duty. One of my high school friends, Ron Dean, was shot very few years after we graduated high school. So I've always had that special place in my heart for the police officers, and that's rare. It's rare to lose an officer in the line of duty. So I went number nine, the Vivian police officer who was killed in the line of duty. Number eight, I went with blight and cleanup. It was a theme throughout the year, especially for the mayor.
Yes.
The fighting of the blight and then the cleanup. We went 7-8 weeks where every week we had a big, massive trash cleanup. Y'all covered it every time he came on.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that at number eight.
All right.
Kind of related, but it had its own lifespan, and it kept coming back from the embers. Number seven, apartment fires.
Ah. That's still a problem.
It's a problem. I mean, it keeps coming back. They keep burning. We keep having issues.
Mm-hmm. Especially so in Highland, seven. Yeah.
Number six, with 3 exclamation points,
uh-oh,
I put live. Live casino opened in February.
It sure did.
And that was 1,000 jobs. It's very quietly set over there. And that was breathing life back to a huge economic engine. And credit to the Mayor Bossier and a lot of folks, and they worked a long time to bring back the fifth boat.
Change the face of Bossier's gambling world, you bet.
And speaking of changing the face of Bossier, at number five, I went with new Bossier City Council.
Ah, okay.
We had those elections, and we had a 24-year council, basically. And then Tommy Chandler got reelected, and this was finally that election cycle. And they all got reelected. We had a new council. They're all in place. And we haven't heard a lot from the Bossier Council since then.
Been getting along pretty good, actually.
Remember, there were lawsuits involved. That was a pretty big story at number five.
Yep.
Number four, I went with data center.
Number four?
I put data center at number four. That's correct.
Okay, what were y'all smoking? No, I'm joking.
It should tell you the top three are pretty big, right?
Yeah, they got to be.
You ready?
Number three.
Number three, I went with the Bernie ordinance. Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
with the Caddo
yes.
Commission. Remember, and the whole thing, because it became the AG suing them. They did a couple more. Bernie Sanders came to town.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty big deal politically.
And that's going to move into next year with
it's
the lawsuit.
It's still going
yeah.
on with the lawsuits. And it opened a lot of Pandora's box, kind of, at the Caddo Commission. I called it the Bernie ordinance.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're right. That was a big one.
Number three, two.
Two.
And I think it was the best feel-good story of the year.
Okay.
The LSUS pilots.
Oh, that's right. I've completely forgot about them.
Obviously, the national championship, the going to the White House.
Yes.
But really, it was a summer of fun. It became
undefeated season.
I mean, I had never even cared about the LSUS pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself looking at their box scores.
Yes. Who was hitting and who was,
And they brought huge honor. on the community.
Absolutely.
And at number one, the story I just didn't want to put there, but I couldn't avoid it. It probably dominated the headlines.
I'm scratching my head.
Pickleball.
Wow, yes. Oh, you're so right.
Scott Hughes' top 10
pickleball
local stories. So now take your shots.
Where's the lady fight on the Cross Lake Bridge with the bajubos falling out?
It didn't make my top 10.
It's not in your top 10?
The two,
nothing about crime?
Well, I mean, crime's down. Officially, crime's down.
The downtown fights?
Again.
All the cameras we have around town?
Isolated incident.
Okay.
Short lifespan. Yeah, it had social media life for 24 hours. But all these stories, I think, had life. All these stories were bigger stories than those. The first two out that would be in the event that one of these could not fulfill their duties,
yes,
and something happened. The next two in my thing, speed cameras. We really had a huge conversation with cameras, mm-hmm, and it's interesting because my children are back in town,
yeah,
and both of them, as we have driven around town, are commenting, what's that yellow stripe on the ground? And they can't even read it. And so
right.
I had explained to them where we got the legislature, the cameras were going away, they stayed. And so I think speed cameras would have been mine. And the other one, which I think is a bigger story than we ever should have gave it credit, but it came and it went. I put the 457 versus the 318. We added a zip code, and now we all
not a zip code, an area code.
An area code.
Yeah.
And now we all have to dial 318 on all. I mean, that kind of came quietly and went, and that was not as big a deal as we thought it would be, but yet it's a big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal. That's a pretty darn good list.
That's my top 10 with two standbys.
What do you call them?
Runners-up.
Runners-up. There you go. And no lady fight on the Cross Lake Bridge. Okay.
There's a lot of things you could have got into, but
we have a lot of those. You did a list too on the national stories, which we will visit at about the same time next hour.
Have a national list as well.
And I'm
the
curious.
Same thought process. The national list was actually harder.
Oh, yeah.
When you try to take the national and cull it down, mm-hmm, it was insane.
We're going to fight about that one, I'm thinking we're going to fight about it. So
we'll see.
I think my lists
are pretty good. I got a crack research staff.
That's a pretty good. I'd move Curtis Jackson higher, though. I'd move him higher. That's the only big change I'd make on yours.
That was where we discussed. I'm going to stand by my top 4 or 5. I think they're unquestioned.
Yeah.
So you're just moving him up or down the.
Yeah.
But again, and this is not a negative. I think Curtis Jackson's a good part of our puzzle, to use Craig Lee's analogy, mm-hmm, and it's an important piece. But we didn't see a lot of movement this year with Curtis Jackson. He bought some more properties. We heard a lot of things. There's a fence up around property downtown.
Yep.
But I think we've reached the point for me to move him up my list. I've got to see progress.
Okay.
A lot of people, again, remember, I'm in the Real Estate Association. Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed by people buying buildings.
Right.
People buy buildings and property all the time.
You got it. What are you doing with them?
I need to see them put back into commerce.
Yes, absolutely. 101.7 FM and 710 Key.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm still allowed to dance, right? It's no singing.
That is the third rail.
That was ugly.
No singing, no touching, and I think, Ruben, no dancing.
No dancing is forbidden.
Okay. That was bad dancing.
It's footloose in here.
I'm sorry. Wait, we can drink in here, can't we?
We're not talking about drinking. We're talking about dancing and touching and singing.
I got yesterday a tally because people have asked me, when are you shaving your head? When are you shaving your head? I am shaving my head. The planned date right now is January 5th.
And you're shaving because you put a challenge out there,
yes,
and Shreveport-Bossier came through.
Unbelievable. I thought, we'll never get to 20 grand.
Well, the target was 20,
mm-hmm,
which is more than you've ever done in the past.
Yes, way more. And what happened? The first day, somebody brought in 10 grand.
10 of 20, half of it.
Said, you're halfway there. Wouldn't tell me his name.
And you called out people.
Called out some folks.
Said, A bunch of your friends gave.
If I ever texted you up, I need 10 bucks from you.
And then Santa arrived again with a bag, right?
Yes. On Wednesday, 2 days later, after we started the challenge on a Monday, December 8th.
Mm-hmm. Day one, you got the first bag of cash.
Yes. On Wednesday.
Day three.
I got another bag of cash, $7,000.
Wow.
Which put us over, because on Tuesday we were at the Gucci Brookshire's.
Because other people were given.
And it that brought in about $3,000.
Well, and you say Gucci, you also, Houghton comes through. Oh, everybody comes through.
Big time. So I asked, now this is not the total from December 8th until now. I said, I just want the week from December 8th until the 15th, which was our cutoff.
But you really did by giving up your hair, which is still on your head, by the way.
Right now it is. It's not going to be on the 5th. We're going to have Grace Ann and the team from Avalon come in and shave it. We raised $25,648.
Wow.
Unreal. So next time, if I ever do it again, Ruben, write this down. Never do this again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll write it down this time.
Twice.
Right below the other one you wrote down, right, Ruben?
I'll dig up the old notebook. And
first time I said never happening. I think next year we're going to make Mike shave the beard. The Santa beard and all that. Hopefully we'll do that. I want to, before we wrap up, I do want to ask for your help for something else today. A dear friend of the show.
Great friend of the show and of people in need.
And absolutely. Keith Bryant, who runs the Shreveport Volunteer Network.
We've had him on numerous times.
Absolutely. And he's a great guy. I love this man. He's run into some medical problems. And he is not able to work at the moment. So his wife has set up a GoFundMe for him. If there's anybody in this community who helps others whenever he can, he gets in his vehicle and he drives to Texas to help in the floods. He gets in his vehicle and drives to Florida when there's a hurricane coming. Well, he needs our help now. So you can go and see on his wife's Facebook page, on his Facebook page, a GoFundMe account to help Keith during this time when he's not able to get up and work. He had surgery on a leg and so he's down and out for Christmas.
You don't do this very often. You don't call GoFundMes, and you're not giving out the GoFundMe account.
You go hunt it down. You'll be able to find it.
If Keith has ever helped you, if you've ever admired Keith's work, and he's not looking for a ton of help. I know Keith a little bit. We've had him on this show. He's just looking to get by till he can get back on his feet, literally.
Absolutely. And he didn't ask me to do this. I'm doing it because I love the man, and I'm going to send him some cash myself. So, you know, if you can help Keith, and if he's ever helped you or anybody in your family, now's the time to step up for
him. Because helping Keith is helping thousands of people downstream. As soon as he can walk again, he's back out cutting trees and helping people in storms.
He will give back 100%. So have a Merry Christmas. Back January 5th. I think I'm back a couple of days in the middle there. But January 5th is the hair shaving day.
Correct.
Can't wait for that, Ruben.
Why didn't you stop me? I know.
Thank you, Scott Hughes. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to all.
Absolutely. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.